I'm dead. It's not to say they wouldn't have had
to. Okay, so we're trying to finish up the sugi over here on Chof Dalad on the base. It's in Hedging, correct? Yeah. Okay, so the last thing we have is that there were two outstanding issues, right? The question, there are two machlokas over here. Is the machlokas of, is the question of whether the machlokas is regarding etein lecho or machal lecho, right? That was one question. In other words, is it etein lecho, is it arguing by etein lecho or machal lecho? Oh, and then the other question was, are they arguing about lifnei gemar din or lacher gemar din? Okay. So the Gemara says, like this. By the way, did you get the pshat over there with Rava? So how'd it go? She says, Amar Reish Lakish Machlokas lifnei gemar din. Over lacher gemar din, they are calling yochel lacher bo. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lacher gemar din machlokas. And then we don't know what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Did he mean lacher gemar din machlokas? But lifnei gemar din is divya kol yochel lachzer bo. O dilma bein bezu machlokas. Result. So then the Gemara says Toshma the Amar Rava kibul alav karov apostle lifnei gemar din yochel lachzer bo lacher gemar din ein yochel lachzer bo. So what did Rava say? Rava says you can only back out before the Gemar Din. But after the Gemar Din, you can't. Yeah. So what is it with our question? So Gemara says, E Amr Bishlam Olacha Gemar Din Machlokes Ovo Lifnei Gemar Din Devri Akol Yochol Lachzer Bo Rava Domer Krib Yochanan Valibad Rabbanan like Rabbi Yochanan. Then you'll say that Rabbi Yochanan, that Rava is like the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Right? In other words, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbanan hold, before the Rabbanan are the ones who say you can't back out. But Rabbi Yochanan, if you're going to learn that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Machlokas is only after the Gemar Din, but everybody agrees before the Gemar Din you can back out, then Rava would be saying the Rabbanan's position according to Rabbi Yochanan. That before the Gemar Din you can back out, after the Gemar Din you can't back out. But if you're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan learns they're arguing even before the Gemar Din, then Rav is not saying like anybody. If he was like Rabbi Meir, then you could always back out. And if he was like Rabbanan, you should never be able to back out. So then it's not going to work out. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan, so this one we can prove. We can prove that Rabbi Yochanan holds the Machlokas is only Acha Gemar Din. But Lifnei Gemar Din, Devri Akol, Yochel lachzer bo. Whereas Reish Lakish said, the machlokas is before the Gemar Din too. Okay. Now just pshat-wise, the question was, we had this very same setup on the prior daf. And there the Gemara says, Rav is saying his own idea. We had the same exact thing. We had a question in Rabbi Yochanan. We weren't sure which Rabbi Yochanan held. Rava came out working one way according to Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara says, so what? Rava holds the third position. So why can't Rava over here be holding his own position? Okay, it's just a pshat matter. So Rashi explains. Okay. So he says, first of all, Rava has to be going according to Rabbanan, because that's the psak. We definitely hold like the Rabbanan. It's either going to be the Rabbanan according to Reish Lakish or the Rabbanan according to Rabbi Yochanan. Because we wouldn't paskin like the Reb Meir against the Rabbanan. And also, it's not Shayach over here to say that Rava is Taima de Nafshe Kama. De Svirle. Dechi Pligi Rabbanan Lacha Gemar Din. Ovalifne Gemar Din Modu. That's not shayach to say over here what we said on the other side, that Rava is saying his own thing. Why not? The halo airi Rava beplugs a klal and lemifsak posak dina. If you look carefully at the statement of Rava, it's slightly different. On chav dalad amar aleph, Rava said. Machlokes be'etein lecha. Rava said the machlokes in the Mishnah is regarding etein lecha. But over here, Rava just says, he just says the din. He just says, yachol lifnei gemar din yachol lachsabo, lachar gemar din ein yachol lachsabo. So what does that have to do with anything? So it means it like this. When Rava says machlokes, that means he's giving an interpretation of the Mishnah. That means he is doing the same thing that Reish Lakish, that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan were doing. They were all interpreting the Mishnah. So when Rava says the machlokes in the Mishnah is such, he's adding his own halachic fact. Here he's just saying this is the din, which implies he's picking something from the prior that already existed. If he was trying to do his own limud on the Mishnah, he would define it like they did and say machlokas is here. It would result in different psak, but the fact that he's not saying it as an elucidation of the Mishnah, just what the psak itself is, it implies that he's just picking something that he held already existed. He doesn't have to come in and teach you how to learn the Mishnah over here. He's just picking a psak. That's what Rashi learns. Tosas also says that. Tosas says it more explicitly. He's not going on the machlokas over here. He's just saying what the din is.
That's
why we said it was his own reasoning. Fine. So anyway, so we've got the problems. We've got the two in yonim. Whether it's mocha l'cha or etn l'cha, and whether it's lifnei gemar din l'acha gemar din. So how do we hold? So the Gemara says like this. Sholach le Rav Nachman bar Rav le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. So he sent to him. Yilamedenu Rabbeinu. Lifnei gemar din machlokas or l'acha gemar din machlokas. V'halacha k'divrei mi. So he wants to know, what is the machlokas? Is it like Reish Lakish is like Yochanan? Are they arguing before or after? And who do we pass him like? So he says, Ravashi Omar Hochi Sholach Lei. No, I'm sorry. Sholach Lei La'achar Gemar Din Machlokas V'Alocha Kedivrei Chachamim. So he sent him back word. The Machlokas is when? After the Gemar Din. And we hold like the Chacham. So in terms of that issue, what do we hold? We hold that after the Gemar Din, you can't back out. And before the Gemar Din, you can. Okay? Correct? That's one thing we hold. After the Gemar Din, you can't back out. Good?
You
can't. You cannot. We hold like the Chacham. Right? But when did the Chacham say, you can't, any yochalach, sir, that's l'acha Gemar Din. And then he sent him again. And then Ravashi says, no, this is what he sent him. Be'etin l'cho machlokas or be'mochol l'cho machlokas? Are they arguing about etin or mochol? And who do we hold like? And he sent back, the machlokas is by etin l'cho. And we hold like the chachamim. Okay? So he sent him back on the second question. Ravashi learns, they were asking, is it on etin l'cho or machol l'cho? So he said, we hold the machlokas is on etin l'cho, right? And we hold like the chacham. So in other words, so we hold now that even by etin l'cho, you can't back out. So we have, So that's the question. How do you put these two things together? So take a look at the Rush. Rush has an interesting idea here. Not much Rush in this Masechta, right? The Rush is on on Dalet, post Dalet. Yeah, no, it's not Lamaisa.
The bottom of, starts the bottom of Gimel.
Yeah, well, we're all different here on this one. So he has like this. Kaimel on Kani Trey Lishna. Lishni de Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. De Be'etin Lecha or Acher Gemar de Machlokas. We hold like both of these. We hold that the Machlokas is by Etin Lecha and after Gemar Din. Etin Lecha and after Gemar Din. And then both of them we hold like the Rabbanan. So that means you cannot back out after the Gemar Din even to give over the money. Certainly a machalacha, but even to have to give over the money, once the Gemar Din occurs, you can't back out. So now he says like this. Let's say it's a mechila case. In other words, it's a case where the guy is going to keep the money. V'lifnei Gemar Din, and it's before the Gemar Din. Gam l'rabbanan yochol lachzer bo. Even according to Rabbanan, you can be chozer. Afal gav d'roi hoya. Even though it makes sense, it's proper. It would have been proper. Sheyiyeh mochol licho lifnei gemar din. He has some equation over here. That keep your money. I'll let you keep your money, right, if I lose. Even before the gemar din, that scenario should be equal to the guy who has to pay the money after the gemar din. So for some reason in the Rush's mind, there's this funny equation. There's this interesting equation that he's saying it's rational to equate having to take money out of your pocket and pay the plaintiff after the Gemar Din with being allowed to keep your money as the defendant before the Gemar Din. And he says there's an idea that would say they're the same. And if I can force a guy to pay after the Gemar Din, I should be able to force the guy to leave me alone before the Gemar Din. So that makes sense to him. That's min haroi haya. It's min haroi. That should be.
He's saying that from a kalvachomer standpoint?
No, equal.
Or just like a pure, okay.
And if you take a look, but he says, "Mikol mokol mashma de ba'oso inyan shenechleku be'etin lecha." But it's mashma from the sugya that in the very same thing that they argue by etin lecha, which is after the gemar din, so he doesn't have a havmin to say etin lecha lefnei gemar din. That is exactly where they're arguing on who de omar avol b'mochel lecha. That's the case where they say that by mochel lecha they cannot go back. Everybody agrees. So in other words, it means like this. That when he says they argue on etin lecha, but they agree on mochel lecha, when do they agree on mochel lecha? Only in the scenario that they're arguing on etin lecha. And since we know they're only arguing on etin lecha after the Gemar Din, that we have from the other Memra, then they only agree on Mochel Lecha after the Gemar Din. Whatever it is, it's just the way he's proving it. Okay? So that's his conclusion. That before the Gemar Din, you can always back out, no matter what, and after the Gemar Din, you're always stuck. But he has a Havamina to say that before the Gemar Din, on Mochel Lecha, you couldn't back out. And if you take a look in the Haggah over here, the Haggah's Ashri, he says the Or Zeruah was misupik about it. He says, Lifnei Gemar Din, u'mochol lecha lo yodana ma eidon bo. I don't know what to say about that case. So it's a real issue. So the question is, what kind of an equation is it to say that mochol lecha is binding Lifnei Gemar Din, but etin lecha is only binding after the Gemar Din? And remember, you have to realize what we mean. We mean to say that if I tell the guy What would it mean? Let's just play it out practically speaking. So we come to Beeston. I say you owe me $100, right? I say you owe me $100, and then I agree to go to your brother as a dayan. Correct? I agree to go to your brother as a dayan. So I'm in the situation of mochalacha, right? I'm in the situation of mochalacha because I am saying essentially, I'll forgive you the money if your brother says that you don't owe it to me. So I'm the mochalacha guy. So then it would come out that according to the Rosh's Havamina, the Orzeruah Safek, if I say no, I'm not so hot on that idea anymore. You could force me to come. You could say it's too bad. You could say too bad. I want you to go. You said you would trust my brother to risk your money. I insist on it, and I would have to go. But if it was the other way around, right? If you were trusting my Karov, right? And then that means to say it's an etin lecha situation. You're saying I'll give the money. Then before the Gemar Din, you could always back out. So what's the difference? I mean, if it doesn't seem to be, it doesn't really work out in the way that we've been analyzing this up till now, right?
Can a mochel lecha situation become an etin lecha situation after Gemar Din?
I'm sorry, what are you again?
Let's say you say, I'll...
Right. All right. It was just to clarify the fact pattern over here. If I claim that you owe me $100, so I'm the Tovei, I claim you owe me $100, and you deny it, but I say, instead of going to a Beis Din, let's go to your Karov. Okay, so I, as the Toveya, am proposing a mochol lecha situation. I'm proposing to forgive what I think you owe me if your Karov agrees. Okay, that's my proposition. I'm offering a mochol lecha. Okay, that's what I'm committing to. I'm offering a mochol lecha. Just like if you owed me a shvua. And I'll say, well, you know what? I'll let the shvua go if you take this strong oath. Right? I'm proposing to bind myself for mechila by the karov or by this substitute shvua. Right? Now, of course, when you agree to go to your karov on this issue, you're also counter-offering to me an etein lecha. And you're telling me, I promise to give you the money if he says I owe it. Okay, so I'm giving you a mochel lecha, I'm offering you a mochel lecha, and you are returning to me an etin lecha. Okay, now the question is, let's say one of us decides that they change their mind. That's the question. So if I decide I change my mind, so then there's a havamina that I'm bound, and you could force me to go. But if you decide to change your mind, I cannot force you to go. We hold lemaisa so that either one of us could back out. Either one of us could say, this was a crazy idea, and I'm out. Until the Gemar Din. But what the Rush and the Orzeruah hold as a real possibility is that for some reason, the mochel lecha guy would be stuck to hold his word if the other one insisted on it. But the etin lecha cannot be bound. So that seems an unusual, that seems to be, we haven't really thought of an imbalance like this. Up till now, when we were talking about mochel lecha and etin lecha, that was really after the Gemar Din, we were talking about mochel lecha and etin lecha, right? We were saying it really just represents your gemiras das, and you can always change your mind until the maisa is complete. That was really the Gemar Din, and the only time the Gemar Din is the completion of the gemiras das is by a mochel lecha, because it's already in your hands. But over here, it's more difficult because we're saying that your word is binding, right? It's like a once the proceeding starts, you're binding yourself to the process. Right? That's what we said last time. That the Gemira's Das is that this process will substitute as Din. So if that's the Gemira's Das, then once the process starts, it should be binding on you whether it's a Mochalcha or an Etelcha. What does Mochalcha and Etelcha have to do with anything on this in this question? This is just a question of, are we signing up for the process? So what's the difference if we're signing up for the process that will result in my having to give, or if we're signing up for a process that will result in my being able to keep something? The whole svara of not being able to be chozer once the din starts, even before the gemar din, was that we said the gemir's das was really that the process should be a substitute din. And once the process started, now your gemir's das has been fulfilled and you can't back out. So what's this idea that no, that whole thing is only true if you're in the position that you're going to be, you're going to keep what you've got, but if you're going to have to give what you've got, then we don't say it. That was a good idea. Now, the chilek of mochel and eten was good when we were looking at it as the din being the gemir's das itself. And then you need the completion of it. So mochel, we say, is completed with the gemir's das, eten is not. But over here, we're looking at, are you locked into the process? That just seems to be a question of, when I started the process, did I do what my gemir's das was on? That's just a question of, do you say that when I agree to something, that's like I'm agreeing to a substitute din, and once that substitute din begins, it begun. What's the difference if it's machal or etan? Just factually speaking, what the Rosh is saying is he's saying like this: saying there are two factors, one weak and one strong. Right? He's saying before the Gemar Din, that's a weak factor. Right? After Gemar Din is a strong factor. Okay? That's one set of factors. And then Mochol is a strong factor and Etain is a weak factor. When I say strong and weak, I mean to say reason not to be able to be Chozer. Right? It's a strong reason not to be able to be Chozer. So therefore he says, look, we could just, what do we see? What is etain lecha after gemar din? It's a combination of a weak factor, etain lecha, and a strong factor, lacha gemar din. So we could say al pisvara that when you combine a weak factor and a strong factor, you can't be chozer. So just like we combining etain, which is a weak reason to be bound, with the Acha Gemar Din, which is a strong reason to be bound. So too, when I combine the Mochel Lecha, which is a strong reason to be bound, with Lifnei Gemar Din, which is a weak reason to be bound, that should also be the same. In other words, saying, look, we have these two things on the scale. You got a weak and a strong. When you put one weak and one strong, it should equal one weak and one strong.
Is the weakener weakening, or is it...
I mean, that's what he means when he says, Mina Roy... or Alpha Pisha Roy, that they should be the same. He means to say, because each one has a positive, and each one has a pro and a con. You got a pro and a con on each side. So when you have a pro and a con on one side, it should be equal to a pro and a con on the other side. Obviously, it's a simplified statement of the Rush, but it seems to be the format, at least, of what he's saying, that you're grouping, right. As we don't know. I mean, the truth of the matter is, in general, we say Mechila doesn't need a Kinyan. That's what we were saying last couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a few times. Mechila itself does not need a Kinyan. If you admit that you owe me money, and I say a mocho, it does not need a Kinyan.
So it's good right there.
It's good right there. It's binding. That's what... That's generally the halacha. Mechila does not require a kinyan. To transfer ownership requires a kinyan. Right? If it's mine and my property and I want it to give it to you, then I need a maisa kinyan. But I can't express my gemiras das without a maisa kinyan. You don't need the kinyan to express the gemiras das. You need the kinyan essentially to effectuate, there has to be some maisa to effectuate the transfer into your rishus. have to be machnesit into Yerushas. But Mechila doesn't have that requirement, because it's already in Yerushas. So now I just have to express my Gemir's Das. So that I think is in general why he's saying Mechila is easier in a certain sense than Etein Lecha. Because Etein Lecha requires a real Maisa Kinyan. But Mechila, you're just saying, I'm going to forego my right to claim this from you. I'm going to keep the keep things where they are. Right now, you have the money and I don't. I'm going to keep things the way they are. But still, why Alpi Svara is he saying that would be equivalent to Lacha Gemar Din and Etein Lecha? I would say like this, just need to think it through a little more, but no, it was like this. The Rosh is saying, very, very interesting idea. Let's take Etein Lecha. What are we saying by Etein Lecha Lacha Gemar Din? So we're saying that Etein Lecha really means that I'm going to give you something, right? That's what I'm saying. I will give this to you. Okay, and what do you need? And then we're saying that's only going to be binding after the Gemar Din. So it means to say that we're making the Gemar Din into the Kinyan. The Gemar Din becomes like the Kinyan itself. Okay. Why isn't it good Lifnei Gemar Din? So this is his idea. The reason why you can be Chozer Lifnei Gemar Din is because you need a Maisa Kinyan for the... You need a Maisa Kinyan to occur for the Gemir's Das to be finalized. So before the Gemar Din, we're not saying that the proceeding itself is a Kinyan. We're saying the decision is a Kinyan, right? So therefore, it's not going to work on Etein Lecha. No, let me put it this way. You have to look at... Okay, but by Mochel Lecha, he says it's very different. See, by Etein Lecha, you have to look at what would a regular Matana require? If I would want to give you a Matana, what would it require? It would require my Gemir's Das and an actual Maisa of Hakna, an actual Maisa of Mesiras Rishos. So when we're constructing our deal, we have to have our Gemir's Das, and then we also have to construe something that will create the Mesiras Rishos. Okay, you know, you have to look at what does a regular Matana require, and you have to substitute something for that regular requirements of Matana. So regular requirements of Matana needs a Maisa Kinyan. So we'll be able to say that the Hachraz Din itself is the Kinyan. Okay? But by Mochel Lecha, he says really there is no requirement of Kinyan. In other words, the only reason why we said there's no you can't be Chozer after the Gemar Din, and you can be Chozer before the Gemar Din, is because you need an event. You need an actual event of Kinyan. Because you can't be Moser something to somebody without a Kinyan. So now we have to construe a new Maisa Kinyan. And before the Maisa Kinyan, it's just like always before the Maisa Kinyan. Whenever you're in a situation of being in a generous mood, before the Maisa Kinyan, you can always back out. Okay? So the necessity of having Gemar Din to bind you is because it's essentially a protracted giving of something. But the giving is never complete until there's a Maisa Kinyan. So we need to use the Gemar Din. We need something to represent the actual finality of the Mesira. Okay, we need something final. We need something that has the quality of finality and delegation of rights, because that's what a Kinyan always has to have. It always has to have a finality and a clear delegation of ownership. That's what, when I give it to you, beferish behedja, that's the clearest expression of final delegation of rishus. if we want to use the based in proceedings, it will only function, it will only be valid in the sense that it mirrors an outright mesira. So it has to have that element, it has to have that component. It's only going to be that element of it that has the finality and clarity of delegation of rights that will function for the kinyan. That's only the Gemar Din. But that's because to give requires that. There's no such thing as giving without that. But Mechila doesn't require that. I could be Mechil to you right now, just sitting here in my chair, I could be Mechil to you. So therefore, the Rush is saying, there's a Svara to say, the only reason you need Gemar Din is not because there's no reality to the proceedings themselves, but you need to find the element of the proceeding that mirrors what you need to do in reality. And it's going to be different depending on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to accomplish a Mesiras Davar, then only the element of Gemar Din will be valid. But if I'm just giving up on a right, that doesn't require to be bound by my word that I give up on a right, doesn't require any clear maisa or delegation of any type of rishus. Doesn't demand that quality of action. So since mechila itself doesn't require any type of action like that, I can substitute a non-action for my commitment to be for mechila. In other words, he's just trying to say that there's a good argument to say that it's not that lifnei gemar din is nothing. You understand? But it's not enough for a mesiras davar. But maybe it will be enough for a mechilas davar. Who's to say it's not enough for a mechilas davar? It makes sense to say. That's really what the equation is. The equation is much better now. The equation is, there's a certain passive, like Yitzhi was saying, a certain passive part of the din, and then there's an active part of the din. The active part is required for the active transfer, but maybe the passive part is enough for the passive transfer. And it's a good svar to say that each one should go for its kind. Achra is good for the attain, and just signing up for it and beginning it is enough to be bound by my word to not pursue a claim, because it's just a giving up. Kamash Molon, that they're really arguing on. Kamashmalan, it would seem that there is no reality to the proceeding. That's exactly what we hold. There is no idea of substituting the proceeding as a reality. There's no idea that of a Gemir's Das to be bound to a proceeding. Now, as that was his question, what's the problem of being bound to the proceeding? Is the problem that it doesn't have the quality of Mesiras Davar? Was that the conclusion? Oh, so then for Mechila it would be enough. He says, that's a Svara. But, empirically, he holds, when you look through the Sugya, you'll see that the problem was, there's no mamashas to proceeding. The only thing you can be bound to is a Davar Sheish Bo Mamash. That's the Hachara itself. In other words, again, but theoretically, the point is like this. Why, to think about the problem on a theoretical plane, very important to hear this point. In other words, the question is, this is always how, you know, the methodology of thinking always takes on this type of a form. In other words, we know that for Etein Lecha, Lifnei Gemar Din, meaning the proceeding itself, is insufficient. Does not work. Does it not work because it's insufficient, meaning it's something, but it doesn't have enough to effectuate an actual Mesiras Davar? Or is it simply a non-halachic entity? And it's not something that the Gemiras Das can be chal on. The nafkamina is from Mochel Lecha. if it's really just insufficient to create a transfer, but by machalacha you don't need to create a transfer. You just need to give. You just need to be involved in something that indicates you're giving up a right. And that's and to give up a right, you don't have to do any maisa. So as long as you're agreeing to this as a method of your giving up on a right, that would be sufficient for machalacha. But if the proceeding is not good for etein lecha because it's a non-entity halachically speaking, then even for machal lecha it doesn't do anything. It's a little rough on the edges, but I think that's the basic approach of how they're learning, of the svara. Is it a deficiency in machal lecha? Is it a deficiency in etein lecha that doesn't exist in machal lecha, or is it simply a non-entity, and it's a non-entity by both? Okay. Just the last point I wanted to mention is that the Rush and all the Rishonim agree that when we say Gemar Din, when we say this just verifies what we were saying a couple days ago, and when we say you're bound at the Gemar Din, it doesn't always mean the Gemar Din. For instance, by the Shua case, when are you bound? When the guy takes that substitute Shua. In other words, the idea that we set up the other day is true. That when you set up something for your Gemir's Das, then once that comes to be, when you set up something that's going to effectuate the Hischaivas, right, and then that's your Gemir's Das, that this will effectuate the Hischaivas, when that occurs, then it's too late. So it depends whether it's the Reisha or the Sefer. On the Reisha, we were saying, their decision I'll be bound by. But in the Sefer, I was saying, if you take this Shrua, I'll give you the money. So then the Gemar Din is immediately when he takes the Shrua. You don't need the Dayanim to say, okay, now you're Chayev. The Gemar Din means it's the Gemar of your agreement. The completion of your agreement depends on what the agreement is. If the agreement is to go by their Psak, then it means literally when they say, you owe him, you owe him. But in the Seifa, it was a question said, I said, if you take this minor Shua, I will give you the money. Then it's once the guy takes the Shua, that's considered the Gemar Din. In other words, Gemar Din is just represents the completion of the Tanai that you made with this guy to effectuate the transfer. So in the case of Shua, you don't have to wait for the Dayanim to give up Zak. He's bound right away. Right? And then the last point is, the Gemara says, the end of the Gemara says, all of this is only if you didn't do a Maisa Kinyan. But if you did a Maisa Kinyan, and you promised each other to be bound, like Rashi says, you did a Kinyan that you will not be Chozer, then even the Fnei Gemar Din, you're stuck. Because the Gemar Din, whenever you do a Maisa Kinyan, that itself always represents a full obligation. One interesting question, and that is, how does that kinyan work? Because normally we say that's like a kinyan dvarim. Why isn't that just like a regular kinyan dvarim? Why isn't that just like the case I gave the other day, to make a kinyan with you to play basketball? That's a good question. The Muki Yosef mentions that question. It doesn't really give a satisfactory answer, but... Yeah, same question by Pshat, but that's why I got to look in the Shulchan Aruch. That's why in the Shulchan Aruch they say, when the Rama says, when you make a kinyan on Pshara, you shouldn't make a kinyan just to go to do Pshara.
Right.
You should make a kinyan on the Cheftza.
So why don't you do the same thing?
Maybe. But Rashi apparently doesn't hold. Rashi doesn't hold you need to do the kinyan. Maybe you're right. Maybe he holds the same thing right by Pshara. In general, I think you're right. Rashi doesn't hold you need to make a kinyan. Rashi doesn't hold this is the case of kinyan Dvarim. And he holds you don't need to make a kinyan on the Cheftza. Muki Yosef just says that's what he says. He says the kinyan is Shelo Yachzor. And the Muki Yosef also learns that way. And he just mentions like this. He says, V'afagav de michsi kinyan dvarim, afilu hochi ashkecha bekinyan shemachazek ha-dvarim ki de'omri gabi dini de bar matra. He says, there are other cases like this. to be mechazek something. He says, there's such a thing as a king to be mechazek something. To be mechazek hadavarim. I don't know, it's a different Indian. It's an interesting topic, but I don't know. Maybe we should really look through the halachas to see how it comes out. Lamaisa. Okay.